Greetings, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome.
Hold up. Wait a minute. Something ain't right.
It's Christmas!
It's lads, dads, and a couple of beers. Big Al and Dave chatting to a couple of peers. Covering the topics that you're gonna wanna hear. Making you laugh your ass off while holding back the tears. Crazy stories, celebrity guests. Come and take a minute to relieve some stress. Regardless of your background, religion or wealth, the most important conversation is about mental health. Sponsored by F2B Clothing and Buntingford Brewery.
Well, hello everybody. We decided to do a cheeky little bonus episode for now.
Welcome
to Lads, Dads, and a Couple of Beers, the Christmas bonus episode.
It's Christmas, motherfuckers!
We just thought, do you know what? Fuck it. We kind of left it on episode 19 because we put off a really good guest. And we thought, let's end it on a nice even round number. Episode 20, do a cheeky little bonus episode.
That's it. For all you people out there suffering with OCD, you can't leave it on 19, can you? You've got
exactly
to finish on a 20.
Exactly. And we're gonna get a cheeky little special guest on. We won't say who it is.
Yeah, but we have. Yeah, it'd be interesting.
Hold on. Hold on 2 seconds. Connor!
Okay. You're adopted!
Don't tell him that.
Everybody needs a surprise at Christmas, pal.
I'm just
they?
Doing the podcast. God, fucking hell. Good. Okay. Good luck getting into bed tonight. What does adopted mean?
Same as MBE.
Oh, God. Christ. Well, look, yeah, here we are.
How are you?
Mortified.
Oh, really?
Mm.
Why? What's happened?
3 really embarrassing things have happened to me in the last 3 weeks.
Oh, wow.
Number
You're pregnant.
One. Number, well, close. Number one, I was in a bit of a rush the other day and I pulled over a Tesco Express in Torquay. I was doing a bit of work down there.
Oh, lovely. Lovely neck of the
and
woods.
And I just wasn't paying attention. I run in. It was one of them where it was like, I weren't really hungry. I weren't really thirsty, but I had a 5-hour drive back. I needed to get something. So I went in, quickly had a look at the sandwiches, BLT, packet of McCoy's, Bosch, got them, got to the checkout. I'm standing in the queue and like, the girl behind the thing was quite attractive, I'll be honest. Like, I think you can say that. She was relatively attractive.
Yeah.
And there was like, a load of... you can't say that, Dave. Yeah.
Sorry,
I'm gonna have to edit that out.
The Christmas spirit's in me, and it was probably in her as well.
God, who said that? I'm gonna have to put a little bleep over that. People have to guess what it is you said.
Okay. I can say it a couple more times if you want, make it a bit more interesting.
No. But it rhymed with lingered. Anyway. So I'm standing there and there's these geezers behind me. They're like all builders, scaffolders, all queuing up, getting there.
Yeah, scary motherfuckers, yeah, really like, tough. Yeah,
blokes of the building trade, all talking in West Country accent, Cornish, which was a bit weird anyway.
And I've
gone to the front and I'm thinking, yeah, exactly. So you know what it's like in that situation. You don't want to stand there and be a flop. So you've kind of...
No,
nah,
just get your knob out and go, come on!
Fucking have it. I'm standing there and then go to think my turn. And she scans it, and I'm on my phone. She said, would you like a drink? And I went, sorry? She said, would you like a drink? And I went, oh, I'm really flattered, love, but I'm married.
No, you didn't!
And she went, no, but you get one with the meal deal. Oh, my God.
Invalid.
I was absolutely fucking mortified.
Oh, mate, that might be one of your best ever.
No, and, like, literally, I walked out, and I just kept my head. I didn't even turn back to look at the lads laughing. But one of them definitely went, fucking sodden twat. But yeah, that was highly embarrassing.
Oh, you poor darling.
Well, oh, God, another one. So, you know what it's like with your missus? Like, you just, if it's hoodies, they don't belong to anyone. You just wear each other's stuff, like hoodies, especially hoodies. Like, she'll put on your hoodie, you'll put on her hoodie. For about... This was going on for about 8 days. So I'm coming from work and there was this hoodie over the back of the chair. And I'm like, oh, obviously one of mine or one of hers, left it. Collecting all the wash up, and it'd been sitting there for 2 or 3 days. So I just clocked down, put it in the wash, ran it through a wash. And then when it come out, hung it out to dry. Thought, that's actually quite, I'll put it on. So I put it on. I was wearing it. We were watching a film. The next day, come home from work, put it on. Became like, you know, a really nice hoodie.
Hmm.
And I turned around and said to her, I've been wearing this hoodie now for a week and you haven't turned around and said, why are you wearing my hoodie? And she went, that's not my hoodie. I'm like, it definitely is, because it's not mine. I wouldn't, I don't know what it is. She said, yeah, it's not my hoodie. And I'm like, think it is. I mean, I've even had like a little snooze in it. I went to piss in it one night. I'm like, what the fuck is it then? The next day, I put it on because I thought she was just winding me up. Dishwasher bloke man's come back to look at the dishwasher. He went, all right. And I went, yeah, you? And he went, yeah, good. And he come in doing the dishwasher and everything. And he was like, yeah, yeah. And he went, right, about 20 minutes into it, he was like, mate, why are you wearing my hoodie? And I'm like, no, it's not your hoodie. And he's like, yeah, if you actually lift the label up by the hip, it'll have my name on it. Looked at it, had his initials, RC, Richard Chatford. I was like, oh my God, I've been wearing some random geezer's hoodie.
Well, at least you washed it first.
Yeah, but I've...
Was that before or after you jizzed in it, though?
I didn't have a crafty one in it, I must have.
Ah, yeah, meaning. Ooh, it feels rude when it's someone else's, doesn't it?
So, yeah, there's my two very...
So, geezer, like, we haven't been recording for a couple of weeks and you've been falling apart all over the place.
Well, I was trying to get into Christmas, but I just find it really hard. It's just like COVID, Omicron, COVID. Everyone's got it.
Everyone's got it.
You've got it in your house, haven't you?
Yeah, we've got it in our house. Bunch of filthy virus living bastards, aren't they? I'm double jabbed. I've got my booster tomorrow. But yeah, my wife has tested positive for AIDS this morning. I mean, COVID. Don't worry, she won't fucking listen to this. Yeah, so she's tested positive to COVID this morning. And yeah, mate, it's looking pretty bleak for the next week, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, the big day is like just over a week away. And they reckon like fucking 50% of the country is going to have it by then.
I reckon what will happen, he will, around Christmas Eve, come around and say, right, you can have Christmas Day, Boxing Day, but we're going to lock you down from like the 28th or something.
But no one will do it.
Of course they
will. No one will do it. I don't want this to be a morbid episode, but no one will do it. I ain't fucking locking down for no one, mate. I would have been jabbed 3 times by then. What else do you want? Teeth out me, Ed. Jesus.
I don't think I could handle it one more time.
I don't think the public could handle it anymore. Mate, fuck all of that anyway. You haven't come here in what I'm wearing once. Well, you call yourself a friend? I'm dressed up here like Macaulay Culkin's wank blanket and you said nothing.
Well, I didn't know what was going on. Like, you've got some weird...
I've got a Christmas hat on.
Yeah, but I've got to be honest, Dave, that the way your head is, it looks like you're just wearing a tennis...
It looks like I'm wearing a towel, doesn't it?
Yeah, you don't wear a turban. You can see it's
the big white band. And I've got a ring of Christmas lights around my neck.
A ring
of Christmas lights round my neck. I look like Home Alone's farted all over me. It's like, you're just like, oh yeah, blase, Dave's dressed like a prick normally, don't matter, does it?
I must admit, yeah, I'm still worried about my own problems.
In case you've been barred from every Tesco Express in the country.
Yeah. You all right, Connor?
What's he in a cupboard in the room or something?
No, it did sound like it, didn't it?
Yeah.
No, that's his bedroom door.
What
about that? All good in the hood. All good in the hood.
Well, look, looking forward it's to Christmas. Yeah. And so am I. Last Christmas, in the words of Wham, was pretty rubbish.
Can I just ask you something before we go into that?
Go on.
Can you notice that my lazy eyes got worse? Look, I look down the camera.
Look away. And then look back. Yeah, a little bit.
Bad, isn't it?
Yeah.
It got to the point on Monday.
Give yourself one of them.
Mate, I'm not kidding. On Monday, it was so lazy, it looked like it had a fucking week off. It was like hanging down the side of my face. It was all the way down here. It sort of comes and goes. It's really weird.
So let's talk about Christmas, pal.
Yeah, come on.
Let's talk about... Gifts. I've got a question for you. Yeah, gifts. So you tell me, what's the best gift you've ever had and what's the best gift you've ever given?
Oh, that's a great question. Best gift I've ever had at Christmas, probably Christmas. This year, because I've had it already.
Oh, have you?
Yeah. I got a, I found it, stupidly, I found it in the underneath the stairs, covered under the stairs.
Taiwanese boy?
You're on fire.
Oh, shit!
I got a perfect draft beer machine.
Oh, lovely. What a salt. Nice. Yeah.
Chills to 3 degrees. It's so crisp. It's like, I shoved the Corona in there. Now, the Corona's not too great in it, but the Stella's unbelievable.
See, I'm not a big Stella fan.
I'm not. But I think it's just the fact
you can do it from home, isn't it?
Yeah, and I managed to get a good 3 pints in before I started knocking her about. So it's...
Go on, what's the best you've given?
Best I've given? I don't know if it's because she kids in that, but like telling Connor last year that Santa gets gifts for you and then we get gifts for you because you do 400 quid on an Xbox. You don't want him to go, thanks, Santa. And I'm like, fucking hell, what am I? A brick. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Why don't you get me anything, Dad? Don't you love me?
Yeah. Is it because I'm adopted?
Yeah, I do love you. I love you so much that I'm not going to tell you that Santa ain't real.
Yeah. I'm not going to tell you it's actually Rick Scully. But it's, probably that. Probably last year when he got his Xbox and he started crying.
Well, it was broken.
No.
Oh, he just loved it so much.
Yeah, he just loved it so much. Yeah. I mean, it said... P box on it. We could have been bagging a market. Yeah. I didn't know you could do that. You can buy like fake Xboxes and PlayStations.
You can buy fake anything, can't you? Someone will buy it.
Yeah, well, true.
Someone will have.
What about you?
Go on in. Me?
Yeah.
The best present I've received, I reckon it is my smoker that Kelly bought me a few years ago.
Do you know what? Oh, I'm obsessed with that.
What presents Kelly buys me?
No, the smoker.
Oh, right, okay.
You make really, like, really melt-in-your-mouth brisket out of it, didn't you?
Yeah, I do some crazy meat shit in there, mate. Some crazy stuff, like 16-hour smoked briskets I've done in there, pork shoulders I've done in there. I've done, at the same time, 28 full racks of ribs.
I'm done.
Black pudding burgers I've done, stuff like that. Fucking naughty stuff, mate. Naughty stuff. But yeah, she bought me a smoker and it was a complete surprise. Bear in mind, they're quite a few bucks and I just didn't expect that to be spent on me. But that arrived probably about 3 or 4 years ago now, a couple of days before Christmas because it was too big to hide. And that's just... The bollocks, just
about,
love it.
What about you? What you've given?
What I've given?
Excuse me, guys.
I'm quite a good Christmas present giver. I love Christmas, so I have a tendency to go a bit over the top. One thing. I don't know if there is one thing.
What about something you've ever given your mum? Like a memorabilia about your dad or something like that?
No, not so much. She's given us some cool things this year. She gave both the girls a bauble, like a Christmas bauble, a glass bauble,
right?
And it's hand painted. It's got a tiger on each one of them. Okay. So my dad was an architect, and he used to work for ZSL. And the last project that he finished for ZSL was Tiger Falls at Whipsnaid. So he always had a bit of a relationship and a connection with the Tigers. So we have quite a lot of tigery type things in the house, pictures of tigers and things.
Is your
like
dad
that.
Joe Exotic?
Yeah, can you imagine?
Yes, is that Dad. Is that where he lives through the myth of Joe Exotic?
Yeah. But I can't think of one thing. I remember when, before we had kids and we were saving up for our wedding and things like that, me and Kelly used to do a budget. So you had a budget. You couldn't go over the budget.
I remember having this conversation once with you in the pub when we both lived together. Not together, but you know what I mean. And we both said about having a £200 budget.
Yeah.
And always going over it.
Oh, yeah, I always go over my budget. I don't even know why we even agree with the budget. The budget, I think, is always for the other person. So I'll always be like, yeah, okay, £200 budget, knowing full well that's what she's going to spend, but I still just spend whatever I want. And 1 year, our budget was really tight. I think it was the year that we before we got married.
Mm.
And it was like 50 quid.
Yeah.
Just spend us 50 quid on each other. And we were going from our house to my mum's house, to her mum and dad's house. We were going round on Christmas Day, seeing everyone. So I did 50 quid at every person's house, and there was another present for her at every person's house. And
that's of course, cool.
When she kicked off, I said, but that was never in the rules. I couldn't do that.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I bet she felt like a right prick, though.
No, she's been with me for that long, but she knows that I don't abide
by anything. You are quite generous.
I like to see people happy. Mm. And I like people to sort of have what they want to have. Do you, if that makes sense?
Like, yeah. Where do you draw the line with spoiling your kids though? Because it's like, I look at
this is a big thing, man. Like,
yeah. I mean, I look at what we've got Connor over the years. Like that kid's got everything. He's got a VR. He's got a PS4 when it come out. He got the VR kit that come with that. He got the Xbox last year. He got an iPad Pro for his birthday.
His iPad Pro is mental, mate. It's like a fucking TV. It's massive.
About 1,100 quid that cost. Like, yeah. You know, that's not... So that's a holiday. You know what I mean? Yeah. And then this year, it's like, he wants a laptop. It's like, okay, so, you know, if you want a kid to have a laptop for using what he wants to use it for, Roblox, docs, whatever it is, and let's face it, you know, I want it to last till he's at least 14, so he's going to need good graphics for that. It's going to cost you a good, like, £400 or £500.
Yeah,
I try to explain this to the missus. Like, I can't. She grew up in a family where they were overly spoiled.
Yeah,
because their mum and dad wanted their mum and dad worked their bollocks off, and they wanted their kids to have the best Christmas. Like, walk downstairs, and you can't walk through the carpet because it's But I didn't have that growing up. Now it wasn't because my mum didn't want to give it to us. She just couldn't. Right, so I would never expect to get. Like, if I put Adidas tracksuit bottoms on, I'd probably get Reebok or Alessi or something. Do you know what I mean? She'd do her best. I'd never expect to get the top-end stuff.
Mm.
Now, so I naturally lowered my expectation through the years. So we always clash on what to get him. Like, so we've done the best part of nearly £600 on him for Christmas. Now, in my head, that's fucking mental.
It's loads, man.
Like, that's a week's wages to some people. And I don't want this to sound like, like a flashy thing. Oh, look at, you know, you're spending money. But you have to put into context that we work very, very, very hard.
Yeah.
Like, and, you know, myself, my wife, you and your wife, especially, are very successful. We're lucky that, you know, the four of us as individuals have been very successful. But that's not come through... You know,
I'm probably in the same sort of place where you are. I mean, for years and years and years, bearing in mind Marley's 10 now, Arabella's 7, for years I've been saying it needs to be a set amount, 150 quid each. You know what I mean? That's still 300 quid between the both of them, and that'll do. They don't need any more than that. They get a load spent on them from grandparents as well. So,
yeah, exactly.
They never go without.
No.
But the one thing that I've noticed is that it doesn't get any cheaper the older they get.
No, it doesn't.
And once you set this bar of expectations, their expectations just grow naturally.
Exactly. And it's interesting because when we were kids, things were cheaper. Things were more affordable.
Oh, yeah.
Even in relevant, like, to compare it to times, like, there wasn't such thing as £1,100 consoles or £1,200 consoles. Even a PlayStation 1... Sega Master System, Mega Drive, whatever. Okay, they were £150, £200.
I remember my Master System, so that was like the cheaper version.
And yeah, that's right.
If you couldn't afford the Mega Drive, you had the Master System, and that was about a oneer.
Yeah.
The Mega Drive was like 200 quid.
It come built in with Alex the Kid and Sonic.
Alex the Kid and Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah. Madness.
I have this probably an even bigger realisation, and that's... I like a pair of trainers. So
yep.
I have a lot of pairs of trainers that I like. And I remember getting trainers when I was a kid and they were like 30, 40 quid. Now, they're like, Marley asked for a pair of trainers for Christmas, bearing in mind she's 10, they're £90. £90 for a pair of trainers for a kid. It's like...
But again, this is another conversation to be had. With the way social media is and the way they watch stuff on YouTube and the YouTubers they see all wearing Yeezys and Gucci.
Balenciaga. Yeah, Palm Angels.
Exactly.
I don't even know what it is. But...
Exactly. Now, don't get me wrong. Me and you both, we're both guilty of this. We like a brand. I wear Gucci and Yeezys. I've seen you in some absolutely ridiculous clobber. So we both like expensive clothes, but we work hard for our money. It's not right that an 8-year-old says to me that I want a Gucci scarf, a Gucci pillowcase for his birthday. And I'm like, right, fucking, let's get you down Bovey Market.
Yeah.
You ain't going to know the difference.
You won't know no different, yeah.
But this is the thing. It's like,
funny like how social media rubs off on them, even if they don't think it does.
But Connor came home from school one day. It wasn't even that long. Sorry to cut you off. Come back from school not that long ago after they'd have PE. And he turned around and said, Dad, can I change my boxers? I was like, yeah, just go upstairs and change them. Why have you had a bit of a problem? He said, no. I mean, like, I don't want to wear these boxer shorts to school anymore. And he brought his drawer down of all the boxers and just got all the unbranded stuff out. And he was left with one branded ones, which were like Next. And he said, I need some new boxer shorts. I said, why? He said, because two of the boys in my class laughed at me because they're not Calvin Klein's. I'm like, my fucking God, you're seven. Mm. Like, you're seven. I was lucky to have bloody Tommy Hilfiger when I was in school.
Let's have a look at that, right? Because that is it's a really good point, and it's something that it's worth talking about. So for Connor, it's his boxer shorts, which are a relatively easy amount of money to replace. I mean, look, let's be honest. If you bought him 10 pairs of Calvin Klein boxer shorts for a kid's size, it ain't going to kill you. Do you know what I mean?
Well, no, you say that, Dave. You say that. Do you know how much they are? I mean, you've got girls, but so 3-pack of Calvin Klein's in Connor's size are £38.
For 3 pairs?
For 3 pairs.
So let's just say they're 13 quid a pair. Okay. Just to make them. So if you bought 10 pairs, it's 130 quid, which all right, it's a lot of money, but it's not going to, do you know what I mean? It don't mean that you're not going to be able to afford the mortgage.
Well, to some people it is.
Yeah, but let me carry on with where I'm going. So I've had the same thing with Marley, where she's that little bit older, and things like shoes and trainers and uniform and clothes that she wears when she's out.
Yeah.
And I get torn in between that exact fact of I can afford to give her the ones that she wants and I don't want her to have the Mickey taken out of her. But then how do I make her appreciate that she's having that amount of money spent on her? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So
if it was 130 quid, I know that you could go, okay, I'll buy that because I don't want him to get laughed at. But then on the other hand is the other edge of the sword that says, well, hang on a minute, if I buy him designer underwear and he's 8, like, when's it going to stop?
Mm.
So it's a real pot to be put into. That's a difficult decision for a parent. Me, I remember when I was growing up, and obviously my mum was on her own and we didn't have large amounts of money, and I can remember things that I remember my first pair of Nike trainers, and I begged her and I pleaded with her and I was like, it can be my Christmas present, it can be my birthday present.
Yeah, do you remember you used to do that?
But just because I didn't want to be the one that didn't have them.
Yeah, absolutely.
And absolutely. I feel that in my kids when Marley says to me, oh, Dad, can I get one of these? Because everybody at school's got one of these. Then it instantly reminds me of that.
Yeah, absolutely. I 100% agree. And no one wants their kids to be ridiculed. No one wants their kids to be the subject and point into being laughed at. So you'll do anything you can to the point where some people get themselves in debt over it.
Oh, I know, definitely.
I know people that have people at our school who've gone...
Well, they spend thousands of pounds at Christmas, mate. Let's be honest. There's a couple of them at the school. They've got a few chavs between them. So they've probably got 3 or 4 kids each.
Yeah.
And they spend thousands of pounds at Christmas. Like, they spend loads of money at Christmas just because they think that that's what they want to do. And the only reason why you know it is because they put it all over social media.
Exactly.
This is the other thing. So this is a good question, right? When you come down Christmas morning... And Santa's been there. He's emptied his sack all over the living room, the dirty bastard. He's drunk your beer. He's eating your mince pies. And you're all sitting down, getting ready to open up your presents.
Yeah.
Do you film it?
No.
Now, nor do I.
No, I don't. But
Kelly's like, oh, I want the memories. I don't want to put it on social media. I just want the memories.
That's and fine,
I
was like,
but I just want the memories in my head. I don't want to be sitting there watching them opening their pit presents through
my screen. Yeah.
My screen. Mm. I want to actually see them. I want it to burn onto my soul that I'll never forget it.
I
want to be in it.
Yeah. I think that's a really, really, really interesting thing because so many people are so quick to do something in order to get it on their thing. Prime example, Marky P, he had his first, because he doesn't do striking anymore for when he was a pro MMA. He had his first pro grappling and wrestling competition, right?
Right.
And there was a geezer there who no one turned up in his weight category. So he turned around to the judges and said, well, can I have my medal then? And they went, well, you've won by default. Do you want a gold medal? And he said, well, it'll be my first gold medal, yeah. And they're like, well, if you really want it, have it. So he took it. The city side went and stood on the podium with his son taking pictures, put it all over social media and said, this means the world to me. My first ever grappling win, gold medal. He didn't beat anyone.
Yeah,
now, weird. His first thought was social media. Get it out there. Let's chase them clicks. Let's be a like whore. And let's just get... Now, there's got to be something seriously wrong with an individual to do that. Now, this is the important thing. Mental health. There must be something in their mental health. If you strip it back, there'll be something wrong with him.
Acceptance, isn't it?
Acceptance, wanting to be loved, wanting to be liked. Probably got a strong thing of FOMO. I can totally relate to everything that bloke's going through.
But it is the loaded gun, isn't it? It's the loaded gun. So it can either make you or kill you, can't it? Because if you don't get any likes, no tags, none of it, it's the gun that's going to kill you.
Yeah, and it's took this year for me to realize I don't give a shit. The podcast stuff, yeah, I do. Because that's productive for us. And I need the insights and the analytics to come through from that to see how we're doing and how we're growing, how we're responding to our audience. But my personal page with the 25,000, I'll get rid of it tomorrow. I really would. I barely post on it. Yes, I'll post on it if someone offers me something for free to post. I'll do that. Why? Because that's the luxury I've got of having 25,000 followers. I needed to gain something out of the fact of working with the boys. So I have done. I'm getting mine now. So
yeah, but I don't think. I mean, who in their right mind would say if you were getting something for free that you wouldn't take it?
Exactly. I get hate for it all the time.
Well, I've tried to stop sending it to you, but sometimes it's just too much. There's one more thing that I have to clear up about Christmas Day, and it's really important to me.
Go on.
Because this could make or break our relationship after 20 years.
Oh, okay.
So. Picture the room again. Santa's emptied his sack all over the floor. Filthy old git. Right, you're sitting there. Do you take it in turns or do you all go together?
You take it in turns.
So I'll tell you the turn that we take it in and let's see if you match up, right? So the kids open their presents at the same time. They don't wait.
That's fine.
But me and Kelly don't. We sit there and watch them.
That's
and
fine.
Kelly goes next and then I go last.
Then that's fine. That's similar to me because they're kids. They're two girls. Yeah. They're itching. You don't want to sit and watch your sister opening the presents because you know she'll probably be sitting there folding the corners.
They'll be killing each other if I said, right, sit there with your presents and just appreciate the look of them for 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah. It's torture to tell a kid on Christmas Day, open some now and save some for the evening.
Oh, mate, did you ever have to do that? You don't have to open your presents after lunch and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we had main
fucking
presents.
Bring those presents to my house, mate, because they get open the minute you walk through the door.
We have main, when I was growing up, we had main presents that we open in the morning and then we have tree presents.
Oh, well, we had tree presents, but they were like little things.
Yeah, it's exactly the same as we had. Yeah. But sometimes the tree presents were better than the mains.
Yeah, sometimes they're like puzzles.
Yeah.
Or something stupid like that. My mum's always really good with tree presents. Isn't that weird that we've both had tree presents?
I think
that's a thing. You should put up one of them sexy polls on Instagram about that. Do people have tree presents?
Yeah, tree or things. Mm. Right, should we get our surprise guest on? I'd like to do it, but we'd give a special mention to the Morgan family.
Yes, definitely.
It's very sad. So basically, a fellow dad at our school, Marvin Morgan, he's the founder of Fresh Ego Kid clothing brand.
And an ex professional footballer.
Yeah, ex-professional footballer. His son is in Arabella's class. Yeah. Sadly passed away last week. So our condolences to the Morgan family.
Yeah, we're sending you lots of love and white light during this difficult time. And we hope that you can find peace. We really do.
Terrible news, really was. But look, we move on, we move forward. Should we get our surprise guest on?
Let's do it.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome back to the podcast, all the way from series one, the beautiful Jessyn Piazzi.
Woo!
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, we're really good. Thanks we're for coming good. Back on.
Well, thanks for having me back on. I loved it last time.
We did really well out of your
episode. It must have been like 25 odd episodes since we spoke to you, Jess.
Yeah.
You're smashing it. Honestly, smashing it.
Yeah, we are doing. We had one of your fellow celebrity Big Brother housemates on.
Who'd you have?
Who was it again? I've forgotten. Sure.
Which one? Jessica Power?
India Willoughby.
India Willoughby, yeah. She knew
India, yeah. She was with me in CBB.
Yeah,
she was. And obviously, you're BFFs with Holly Matthews now as well.
Yeah, she's lovely.
Oh, we had Holly on.
Her mind. I'm all about the mind, aren't I? So, she's brilliant. And we just did a series together. A comedy mockumentary style, a bit like, you know, This Country.
Oh, okay.
It's filmed like that, and it's a mockumentary about a family in 2020 lockdowns, and it's funny as hell, and it was one of the best series I've ever done, so we just filmed that together.
Oh, nice. When's that out?
Good.
Be the end of next year, because we've done Christmas episodes, so yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, sweet. Can't wait for that.
What else are you up to? Yeah. Tell us about your dancing.
Yeah, that's just a bit of fun getting back to that. But the acting stuff's going amazing now. Like, it's really picked up. I've just got my first big series, and I can't say, and it's so frustrating because I want to shout it from the roof. But the contract's all done.
Can you give us clues and we can guess? If we guess it, can you tell us if we're right or if we're wrong?
I'm tired. And I haven't even started. Shit,
don't do that.
To be fair, though, we need to be careful of things like that, because we've been making the headlines quite a bit.
Yeah. It is something big. It's the biggest thing I've ever been involved in.
So you don't go into detail, tell us, but is it something that people will know?
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. Let's leave it at that.
Very excited. I'll tell you.
I think I know.
I think I know as well.
If she's been doing it with Holly Matthews, I reckon it's a remake. It's a remake of Biker Grove.
No. Holly's not in
it. Remake of Biker Grove. Oh, dear. No, I think I've got a pretty good idea what it is.
But it's written by my favourite author. That's what I can tell you. And you'll probably get it.
Oh, that's just thrown me now.
Oh, okay, good.
I thought it was going to be Hollyoaks.
No.
You're better than Hollyoaks.
People don't go on Hollyoaks anymore, do they?
This is.
You want to say it. Look at you. You want to say it.
Don't say it, Jess, because you'll get in trouble.
Leave it at that, and I'll tell you as soon as I can.
Okay,
cool. Right, so let's talk about Christmas. Christmas is upon us, Jess. So are you a lover of Christmas? Do you love things all Christmassy and all that?
I used to be, but I feel as my age creeps up, I've got less Christmassy.
How old are you now then?
In March, I'm 33. So currently I'm 32 years old. However,
great
age. I don't have kids. I'm not married. I just am on my own in my little house, and my mum and my stepdad are going away. So I'm going to my manager's for Christmas.
Wow.
I know. And it's just, to me, it's just, I hate sounding like a Scrooge, but it just gets in the way a bit, because I'm like, when I'm getting...
Jess, I never had you down as one of these people.
I thought you'd be a Christmas lover, Jess. I thought you'd be playing the Christmas tunes, spraying your hair red and everything like that.
Who did I? It's only been this year. The last year was a bit annoying, but no, I think it's
Do you think you've forgotten what Christmas is like because of the last 2 years that we've had?
Potentially, yeah. I think maybe that's it. Because, you know what? We were locked down for so long, we couldn't get on with stuff. And now I've got things like coming in fast with work.
Yeah.
I just forget Christmas and let me get on with it, because I'm so excited to get on with my things. So I think that probably is it. And I think if I'd have been hectic all year and then I had this Christmas break, it would have been lovely.
Yeah.
But I'm just so excited to get on with the work projects that I've got, that it's kind of made me a bit like, oh, come on, just hurry up, you know?
Yeah, I get that.
Where are you at with your mental health, Jess? How are you feeling? You good?
Good. I mean, yeah, really good recently.
Book's doing banging, mate, isn't it, eh?
Yeah. Do you know what? It's been so lovely, because I kind of wrote that not even on the... It wasn't even done as a way to just you know, it wasn't my thought process. Release, was, yeah. Oh, I want to make money. My thought process was, oh, I want to write everything down and see how I change my opinion on these things, or like not opinion, but your mindset on something.
Yeah. So,
like I've said before, if it's something you perceive as bad,
yeah,
whether it is bad or not, you still got a lesson from that. And how do you grow as a person without lessons that you don't want something again to happen like that? So you've learned how to not do it like that.
Yeah.
So I feel like as I wrote that, it kind of made more sense to me. And I'm continuing to write more now, just because every chunk of your life, I would say nearly every 6 months, something different happens in your life that you deal with. And then when you've learned that lesson, you're like, oh, okay, I'm feeling good now. And that's not going to happen to me again.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it was just like a chucking all them in. And now I'm writing a second one simply because I just want to, every time you grow as a person, you can help other people with that too.
Do you feel, because I've read your book, and it's kind of, I don't know really, it was like a self-help book. It really, yeah, it felt like it you read it and there's certain analogies you use and it's like, oh, well, that makes sense. Yeah. The way you like describe things can help a lot of people. Do you ever read back your book and it's, you take your own advice from what you've written?
Yeah, sometimes. I mean, I haven't reread it again since I wrote it, but there'll be little things sometimes and I'll just look through because I'm like, I'm finding a quote and I remember myself thinking things. And I think very deeply anyway. That's just how I am. I think very, very deeply. And I'll remember something I've said and I'll look back at a quote. And I'll be like, okay, yeah, I remember that, Jess. Like the analogy I used of going up the mountain, like especially at the beginning of the year when I was going through a bit of a tough time just in my head. And I was thinking, well, just one step in front of the other and keep doing what your little tools were, rather than going back into myself and being like, oh, hang on, I'm spiraling. It's finding that, you know, the mountain one was one foot instead in front of the other for however long it took, and I hit the top of the mountain. Well, life like that, if you're having a bit of a bad time, each day you just take them little steps, and each time you take a little step, actually in a few months, a few weeks, whatever time, you keep doing that, you're going to hit a peak, right?
Yeah. So
I feel like there's things in there that I do pull out, and I read a lot of books of other people's as well. I mean, I've got a whole little library up there, and I take so much from other people. I'm just reading Will Smith's book at the moment, and the nuggets he puts in there. Again, it is about his life, but then there's also things that you pull out and you're like, wow, that completely makes sense.
He's a very good speaker, isn't he?
He is a very good speaker, but I think he's got a really good mind, and he's trained his mind to find the good and find that, you know, the bad in the good in the bad. And he said something the other day, actually. Well, I read something the other day. I'll quickly, it's a real quick thing. I've got it on my phone. I'm going to read it to you because it really kind of blew my mind a bit. But it says, there's a Buddhist parable that has guided me through many a perilous transition. A man is standing on the banks of a treacherous raging river. It's rainy season. If he can't get to the other side, he is done. He quickly builds a raft and uses it to get to the other side. In joyous relief, he high-fives himself, lifts the raft and heads towards the forest. But as he attempts to make his way through the dense tree cover, the raft banging and knocking into the trees becoming entangled in vines, preventing him from moving forward. He only has one chance of survival. He must leave the raft behind. The vessel that saved his life yesterday is the same one that would kill him today if he does not let go. The raft represents our outmoded ideas and old ways of thinking that no longer serve us. For example, the same angry and aggressive persona you cultivated as a child to protect yourself from bullies and predators will now destroy every relationship you have if you are unwilling to let it go. And that really hit me because,
wow,
isn't it incredible? Because like as you grow, you've used things to survive. And that's how you've had trauma, like real intense trauma as a kid, or whether you've been bullied, or whether it's, you know, these things, you've picked up survival tactics and then you bring them into your adult life and not even realize, just because it's learned behavior. And
yeah,
if you don't
change
it, you're not going to progress from it, because every situation is different. And that just really hit me. I was like, wow, that's incredible. And I loved it. So that's why I wanted to read it.
Nice.
Wow. I like that.
Nice. I love the fact that you use mountains in your book, because I have this little phrase that I quite like, and it's always on my phone and in the back of my mind. And that's sometimes the best views come after the hardest climbs.
Yeah. And it's true, because I've done the mountains, and the best view is after, when you've got through all the crappy, sludgy clouds and the rain, get to the top and you look down and you're like, wow.
Yeah. How's the family, Jess?
Good. Sad news. My mum's first guide dog passed away.
That's sad news.
But she was unhealthy, so that's put her down. But, you know, she's got her new guide dog. She'd had him a year or two already, and he's fantastic. But it was just a bit of a sad loss to our little family.
Oh, losing pets is shit.
It is really, and you know, shit. What, well, like Casey was the one that when she first came into our life, she kind of gave mum her freedom back, because I'm sure people know my mum's blind.
Yeah, yeah.
So when she first got her guide dog, it was that new sense of relief. She could get out by herself and she could start getting her independence back. So when she died, it was like an end of an era, and it was like she was so precious because of what she'd done for the family. It wasn't just our pet. She'd like transformed my mum's life again.
Was she still serving when she got poorly?
No, she was retired. So she retired actually about 3 years ago because of ill health. And then mum got her new guide dog about 2 years ago. So luckily mum's already trained up with her new guide dog, but she was like, she retired and became a family pet, you know, so.
Nice. And where are the family going for Christmas then?
So my mum and my stepdad are off to a little cabin in Scotland with Richard the guide dog.
Nice.
Richard, what a great name for a guide dog.
Also, I live in Surrey, and when I go walking, I can't tell you how many men there are called Richard. So when I'm shouting, "Richard, come here," they're like,
"I bet they're all coming."
And I'm like, "Oh Christ!" And every time I've shouted that, I've had at least two Richards be like, "Oh, that's my name." Wow.
You never know; you might meet the dick of your dreams.
Well, darling, wouldn't that be lovely?
So, Jess, we spoke a bit before you came on, and me and Al were talking about Christmas is gone and the best present we'd received and the best present we'd given. Yeah. Can you enlighten us with the best present that you've received and the best you've given?
Well, in my whole lifetime.
In your whole lifetime. Could be a question. BMX when you were five. It don't matter.
Jeez, you've really got me here.
He stumped me earlier. I couldn't figure it out.
I love a bit of Christmas.
Okay, there was one I got when I was a kid, and it was a pocket. It was before like phones, mobile phones weren't even a thing, and it was a purple like diary.
I remember them.
Do you remember the purple?
They did a blue one for boys.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was by VTech or someone like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you had to put in a password.
That's it. Yeah.
But I was so cool until I forgot the password. So to this day, I would never know what I'd wrote.
Oh, that was sick.
How long ago did you get that, Jess? A couple of years?
I think I was, like last year, actually. I was about nine.
Her first book.
So that's what I spent the money on. No, I think it was about eight or nine.
What would you say was your favourite age at Christmas?
My favourite age?
Yeah.
Do you know what? I used to love, when my nan and granddad were alive, because I lived with them a lot of my life. Yeah. I think that was always my favourite Christmases, because I was so young, between like 5 and 15, I was living up with them, and the whole family would come over.
Yeah, that was like my family.
No one's there. Like
it's great.
Yeah, nan and granddad were the glue, and once they were gone, the glue kind of just...
Yeah.
Went. So did you ever have... Me and Al were talking, and we didn't realise that we both had this weird little tradition at Christmas, and that was that you'd have your presents in the morning, but then after lunch you'd have an extra present that was on the tree, and they were called tree presents.
No, I never had that.
Oh, fucking hell, Jess.
I thought she was going to come through with that.
Yeah, chocolate. Yeah, we had chocolate coins as well, but we had a tree present as well that you'd get after lunch, and that was really cool.
But did your granddad have like random like bowls of nuts and raisins all around the gaff on Christmas?
No, but I know the tradition for us was always our starter was avocado with, you know, prawn cocktail.
Yeah.
Prawn cocktail, yeah.
Always. That was always a starter, no matter what, for all them years.
I think that's pretty generic in most people's houses, isn't it?
Is it?
We don't have a prawn starter. Cocktail.
Do you not?
Nah, we ain't fucking posh, mate. On. We ain't posh. We don't have a starter.
We normally have the prawn cocktail.
The Surrey girl here has it with avocado, mate. You couldn't get any posher than that.
That's the Surrey effect, though, isn't it? Let's be honest.
Actually, hold on. My nan and granddad were from North London. They only moved out there when their kids was older.
There's posh bits of North London, though. Tottery. What part? Hybrid.
But it's expensive, Jess.
Yeah.
All my family are from Islington.
So, yeah, they lived on... In fact, they lived where the old Arsenal ground was, right on the corner.
That's quite expensive.
King's Road,
Gillespie Road, yeah. Those houses around there now are worth like nearly £2 million.
Huh? And the rest, the three-story ones there. Yeah, they go for like £4 million.
But back then it wasn't like that, right? Are we talking back in the day?
Back in the day, fam.
My dad come over from Italy. Well, his dad did anyway.
When you had them purple diaries that you used to type on that long ago.
I never even thought of that, what your surname was. It's yeah, of course it's Italian.
Italian, yes.
What part of Italy are they all from?
Sicily, I believe.
Oh, Sicilian. Well,
yeah.
The mafia.
Wow.
So, Jess, what's the best present you've ever given?
The best present I've ever given.
Make it clean, Jess.
No, don't. Keep it dirty. It's Christmas. Everyone loves it. Don't worry.
Oh,
Richard.
I don't know. I always get like, if I have a boyfriend at Christmas, I always go a bit all out. If I've been together the world.
If I have a boyfriend at Christmas.
But like, I got my mum.
That sounds really tragic.
And stuff and like things. It's always like, I'm going to be deadly honest. Not a good present buyer.
Oh, really?
Why? What are you?
I buy random stuff and it's not because I'm trying to be thoughtful. But then I'm like, oh, I want to get something
really
wacky and out there. And then they're like, what the fuck is this? And I'm like, well, it's something nobody else has got. And they're like, thanks. Do you have the receipt? And I'm like, oh, damn it. Oh, yeah, I'm not the best present buyer.
So who do you buy for Christmas? Mum, dad, mum, stepdad?
Dad, my niece, my nephew, my niece's mum. That's about it.
Oh, nice.
It's nice. Keep it smooth. Nice, cheap Christmas.
How's your stepdad now? Is he all good?
My stepdad's fine. It's my real dad that's sick. Yeah, he's in a hospice.
Oh, sorry.
So I suppose that's kind of what threw me a bit this year because I was went a bit nuts, I think, in the last winter lockdown. And not nuts, I just kind of lost a bit of purpose. You know, it was easy done when I think that was the main thing for everyone. It was purpose being taken away from us and things. And, I mean, I kept strong in the fact of like, you know, I'll get out and do my run and I kept self-discipline, but my purpose was beginning to fade and like the dreams I had and, that, you know, I think that was a lot of the case for everyone. But during that time, my real dad, I couldn't get into his house and I was like, oh, I normally send carers for him because he was an alcoholic. It's a long story. You probably read in the book. He wasn't a well man for a very, very long time. He didn't really speak, but I'd take him food down every Monday to make sure he was eating because he was agoraphobic, he was alcoholic. It was just going really bad, self-neglect. And then the carers phoned me because I sorted them out, carers, so that he was at least being looked after. Because one time I went there and his house was awful, like maggots everywhere. Like it was really bad.
Okay.
So the carers are going and the cleaners are going and they couldn't get in. And that doesn't normally happen because he wants cigarettes or he would want something from them. So I went and got a locksmith after a few hours, not going to get in, and I found him passed out on the floor and called the ambulance. He went into the hospital and he was in there for a week. And then I found out he had terminal lung cancer, heart aneurysm. And we already knew he had vascular dementia and Alzheimer's because of how he'd been treating his body. But then it just got really bad. So I got him, thankfully, I got him into a hospice near me because he lived in Bognor.
Yeah.
So he moved up to one near me. And they said he had a month left and this was in June. And he made his 70th birthday in October. So
that's wonderful, sweetheart.
And he's still here. So he can tell now he's very blank in the eyes and he doesn't really speak now. And he doesn't move at all. He's strapped up to everything, you know, like to help him. He can't get out of bed to go to the toilet. So it's all strapped up to him. But, you know, in a weird way, and again, this is a silver lining, it's healed something that I didn't know needed healing. I thought, just disassociate myself. That was probably a fault of mine in a way. If you disassociate yourself, you don't feel the hurt. And that was something I learned during that period was actually to do that, you're not healing, you're hiding. And when he went into the hospice, I started seeing him every day and I stopped caring about the past. I stopped caring about where our relationship went wrong. And I started caring about the present moment and how well I could talk to him now. I've never been able to talk to him about anything. And I just decided I'm just going to sit and talk to him about everything. And I'm going to make him birthday cake. And I'm going to get him a dad's card for the Father's Day. And I'm going to do all these things. And it healed something in me. And since then, I've felt a lot better in myself. And I guess these things will happen. Like if he'd have just died in his house and I didn't know what happened, that would never have got healed. So everything happens for a reason.
You would have held on to that for the rest of your life.
Yeah, and I got him into this hospital. Now I know he's been looked after. I now don't think of it as, oh, he didn't love me. No, what happened? He didn't love himself. So how on earth is he going to love me if he didn't love himself?
Yeah, that's to be fair, that's sounds quite similar to my story with my dad. It's, you know, it's, and you saying that there, it's sometimes you've got to, I don't know, you've got to live and let live. Do you know what I mean? Live and forget. Yeah. It's just, you can't change the past. There's nothing you can do to change the past. So if making yourself feel better and your mental health better by forgiving and moving forward, then sometimes, like you say, you close that chapter.
Yeah. And like now, I mean, I'll give him a cuddle. Like Elaine is, but I'll give him a cuddle. I haven't hugged my dad in 20 years. Like, you know, I didn't care if he wanted to or not. I would just do it. And that.
I bet he's loving it.
I think he, you know what, you don't get anything from him, but I know it's a connection that was never there before, and it's now there.
So. And that's just more about you, Jess.
Yeah, well, 100%. It's just nice and it's healed, and I think it, I've been handed this opportunity for us to do that, and I don't think it's just for me. I think it's for him as well.
Yeah,
100%. Well done, you. So look, quickly before we let you go, because once again we rabble on and we can talk to you for forever. Yeah. What's your Christmas wish, Jess?
My Christmas wish,
Richard.
Shut up. No, my Christmas wish is that this corona will piss off and everyone can have a nice life and start living their lives again, because you know I know it's been tough on everyone, and again it's coming around and I can see in people where they're getting nervous and stuff. My Christmas wish to the gods above: get rid of bloody coronavirus.
Well said, darling. Well said. It's been lovely to talk to you. Lovely to see you again.
We will meet up in London, 100%.
We will.
We said last time, but it's just gone mental.
I would say we'd come to Surrey, but we're nowhere near posh enough to come to Surrey.
Oh, you don't need to be posh in Surrey. You should see me after a couple of pints. I'm certainly not posh. And if we do last dad at a couple of beers, it's game over for me. So
let's get Jess on the beers. Richard. Jess, take care, my love. Good to see
you.
Lovely
to speak to you guys.
Take care. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Love to the family.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
Well, the fantastic Jessica in Piazzi.
Oh, Jessica in Piazzi. Wonderful little festive treat Jess was there. Speaks. Oh, mate, she just blows me away with how good she speaks. She's a champ. She's really smashing life. And we're very, very proud to be able to say we know Jess and that we watch her journey.
Yeah, she's fantastic, Jess. We've said it before. We've mentioned her quite a lot in podcasts. We speak about her all the time, really, don't we?
Yeah. Her outlook on life is one to be commended. It really
is. She's been through a hell of a lot.
She's got a fucking hell of a story, mate. A hell of a story. And look, while we're talking about her story, let's talk about Silver Linings, which is her book. We spoke about it there while we was talking to Jess, but we didn't plug it enough. Go and buy this book, man.
Yeah,
this,
can't give it a read.
Her book is decent. It's really decent. And I've it would be it. A fantastic Christmas present or just be. A Christmas read.
It will be a really good Christmas present.
I'm going to go on Amazon right now while we're on here, mate. I know we shouldn't advertise Amazon because they're the corrupter, but look, I'll go on here now and I'll tell you how much it's going for. Silver Linings. So let's see. The hard copy is £12.05, right? But the paperback version is only £6.28.
£6.28, it's nothing.
Fucking nothing.
It's a pint of beer.
It's a pint of lager these days. Come on. Show Jess some support. You won't be disappointed. That book
and
is
in all
brilliant.
Honesty, it's not just like because it's written by a girl, you think, oh, it's going to be mainly focused on struggles within female. It's not. It's really not.
There's a lot of mental health stuff in it.
And took a lot from it. It was one of the best reads I've done. I'm not just saying that because she's a friend and obviously she does us well for the podcast, but it's a great Christmas present. But you know, also is a really good Christmas present. Manscaped.
Rather than giving your wife, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your husband a gift for Christmas, why don't you give those two little boys downstairs a gift for Christmas? That's right, lads. Get on the Manscaped train and look after those nuts. How can they do that, Al?
They can do it by going on manscaped.com, buying yourself a package. When you get to the checkout, shove in lads20. And then when you've done that, screenshot it, shove it on your story, tag us in it, and you're going to a draw to win some beer. It's as simple as that.
The boys at Bunning for Brewery are getting on the Manscaped train as well. They're going to love it. They're going to love it.
And you'll love it because you have some nice, cleanly shine balls.
And do you know what? Fuck all getting in the wife or the girlfriend's good books, cooking her a nice dinner or anything like that. You keep that downstairs nice and trim and always show ready, and she'll be loving every second of it. Sorry, every centimeter of it.
There you go. And do you know what? You'll probably get a few more out of it as well.
Yeah. Merry fucking Christmas.
Well, with that being said, we all know what time it is.
Yeah. It's 22 minutes past 8 on Thursday the 16th of December.
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious.
I've got a bad feeling about this.
Right, here we go.
Are you going to read it?
I'm going to read it. Cool, it's a festive-themed treat.
Has to be. You
lovely listeners out there. Get your laughing gear around this, right? I'll start with the headline. He definitely stole our Christmas. Mother pays £85 for a Grinch visit, only for an entertainer to wreck her home, smash her tree decorations, and pour juice all over her young son. Bah, bloody humbug. A mother of two paid £85 for a Grinch visit is left disgusted after the entertainer wrecked her home by pouring washing up liquid all over her kitchen and fruit juice over her son.
But what do you expect?
I mean, that's a pretty good fucking acting, yeah, isn't it?
That's a great Grinch.
Yeah. Laura McGill of Belfast planned a visit from the famous Dr. Seuss character for her two sons, Creed and Kaylin.
Oh, well, do you know what? I'm sorry, but I can't. If you called your kids Creed, I mean, come on.
I continue. Creed and Kaylin on the lead up to Christmas. But she got more than she'd bargained for. The package included a visit from the Grinch, who messes up beds, has a pillow fight, and decorates the Christmas tree with toilet roll, according to Miss McGill. But in a post that has now gone viral, she claimed the entertainer had a food fight with expensive personalised cupcakes she had made and eggs smashed all over her home. To be fair, mate, she's put a picture of it and he's right. Smash the gaff up.
Oh,
look.
My God. Oh, right. My God. No, so for people who haven't seen, that's like, you know, when you watch a film and there's a scene in it where they wreck the gaff and then it's like, they just forget about it. And you think, well, that kid's going to get in trouble. And it looks an absolute shithole. It's that, but in real life.
It looks like a dog or a cat has gone fucking mental. There's stuff all over the floor. She's got some pretty fake Balenciagas on as well. But,
of course she has. Her son's called Creed.
So this is Miss McGill.
Oh, of course it is. Oh, of course it is. Yeah.
Instagram ready.
Oh, of course it is.
Writing on Facebook, Laura said, so I paid £85 for a Grinch visit. Advertises the Grinch to come in, messes the kids' beds up, have a pillow fight, put toilet roll around the Christmas tree, and pictures of the kids at the end. Then they got told there was no pictures versus what I got. Every single bit of party food and expensive cupcakes were thrown all over the place, and the tree decorations were smashed. Fairy liquid poured all over my kitchen floor, eggs smashed, and a full bottle of juice poured over my floor and my son. Kids' new onesies also ruined. Highly, highly do not recommend. Emailed and complained, but no reply. The Grinch definitely came and stole Christmas. Never been so disgusted in my life.
I mean, what do you expect?
Mate, he sounds like an absolute fucking G. That's all I'm going to say. He sounds like a G.
It's probably one of her exes.
Can you imagine that? Grinch. Right. It appears Laura and her sister used the company Santa Stopped Here Belfast. A response from the company to the viral post said, We hope you see the funny side, along with an image of a Grinch behind bars on the Facebook page. Hey, that's their Christmas spread that he smashed up.
Oh, that's a good spread. That is a great spread. So we're talking by Iceland Heaven, sausage rolls, vol-au-vents.
Chicken dinosaurs, £1.
Yeah, chicken dinosaurs, chicken Kievs, mini pizzas, mini doner kebabs and stuff.
So there's been a response from Santa Stops Here Belfast.
Let's hear him.
A spokesperson for Santa Stop Here Belfast told the Mail Online, Laura's sister hired us and was told in advance what was involved prior to the visit. We've done 30 visits this year with no complaints. We have been doing this for 3 years in total. Our Grinch is loving the attention. We've had hundreds of booking inquiries today. The Grinch also knew them personally, but hasn't told them who was behind the mask
yet. Told you.
However, social media users have been in hysterics over the incident, and they said the entertainer was worth every penny.
Yeah.
One user wrote, pay for the Grinch, got the Grinch, no pigs in some people.
What do you expect?
Merry fucking Christmas. Mate, I can't believe you guessed they knew that he would be someone that was known to them. That's what
it just because it. Oh shit! Just
oh Jesus!
It, just swung my mic around there. It to me, listening to it, he meant to go there and just knock the gaff up a little bit, but he's gone full fucking Garrity.
He gone proper full Grinch on it. Look, dude, I know you put a post on Instagram a few days ago about what was your favourite Christmas movie. The Grinch is up there, mate. Fair play to the Grinch.
Did you know what? It didn't even get a mention. It didn't even
I love the Grinch. I love the Jim Carrey Grinch. I don't like the cartoon Grinch. But anyway.
What's your favourite Christmas movie?
Oh, now I've got a few. Like I replied to you. I like Miracle on 34th Street. I do like that. I like some of the old ones. I like things like Home Alone and Home Alone 2. I really like Santa Claus the movie.
Yeah, very good.
Do you remember that with the sweets?
Yeah.
And they all caught fire and stuff like that. The snowman. I remember the snowman growing up. That's probably quite a fond memory because I was old enough when the snowman came out. Yeah, all of that. I don't know. Apart from that, I like a real mixture. See, I'm not really a Love Actually or anything like that.
That's my favorite Christmas film.
Really?
Yeah.
Love Actually.
Love Actually is my favorite Christmas film. Love Actually and probably Fred Claus.
Yeah,
Four Christmases is good as well.
I like The Holiday.
The Holiday is a brilliant film.
Fucking hell, mate, calm down. I thought you were coming through the screen at me then.
Sorry.
You like all the romantic, like, soppy ones.
Yeah, I am a bit like that. Yeah. It's a challenging wank that we get through it.
Oh, dear. Well, anyway, mate, that's it. The Christmas bonus ep is done.
I hope everyone enjoyed it.
Yeah, and I hope you all have a fantastic Christmas. You've all been good all year listening to us, so you should be getting all the presents that you dreamed of, and hopefully in the new year you can treat yourself with a new nutsacker from Manscaped. That'd be great.
It would be great, wouldn't it, Dave?
Oh, what a way to wake up in the new year with trim balls.
To be honest with you, if we're being completely honest, we've both got our kits. I've had a little bit of a trim up. It is really good.
The thing that the thing that I find is I'm trying to nick my balls to say that no, it does not. It actually will nick your balls, but that it's nick free. They won't nick your balls, and I feel like I need to challenge that.
Well, you know me, Dave, and you know my balls. They're real saggy. I've got no nickage.
No. Yeah, I mean, when you're thinking about it, you're talking about an old Mulberry handbag from like the 50s. That's what our nutsack looks like. It's a state. At the best of times, it's a state. I actually said to him, if you shaved all the hair off, it might look worse. So you might just want to tone it down a bit. But they look fantastic and they slide into my mouth so smoothly now.
I call them Deirdre Barlows.
Go on.
Because they just look like Deirdre Barlow.
Oh dear. Have you put glasses on them?
That's a great idea.
Massive glasses. That's a Christmas card for 2022 right there. Courtesy of Manscaped. Anyway, look.
Whilst you're there, lads, check for lumps.
Yeah. And if your friend's struggling, help him out. If he can't reach the back bits, you can. I'm all giddy. We haven't really been recording for weeks, and now it's Christmas. It's not my favourite time of the year. But look, anyway, have a Merry Christmas, mate. It's been a fantastic year. I look forward to what the world brings us in January. Hopefully this COVID is going to fuck off once and for all, and we can all spend some well-earned time with our families.
100%.
So look, be safe. Take care. Definitely wash your hands. Don't forget to say please and thank you, and take care of each other. We love you lots. and trim your balls. If you've been affected by any of the subjects we've spoken about on today's episode, please feel free to reach out to your friends and your loved ones. Failing that, you can contact the people at Mind and they'll be able to help. Their number is 0300 123 3393. Or failing that, go to mind.org.uk. Stay safe, be well, and enjoy the sun.